The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, Jordan. Julie and Marcus, is this all your family? You guys, that's the way. I love this because, you know, I have a conviction. Part of my conviction is that we move away from all of our families, and it takes grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody to raise a child. So it looks like you guys got a pretty good start on that. Bless your hearts. I'm so thrilled for what God is going to do in the lives of these children. Well, we've been in this series on parables, learning some life lessons. And today, I simply want you to learn the lesson of life. Somebody said life can be wasted, it can be spent, or it can be invested. You can waste your life, you can spend your life, or you can invest your life so that it makes a difference for what is coming after you. I saw a story. My wife told me, she said, "You've told that story before." I said, "Well, I like the story, so I'm going to tell it again." I read that story about a guy who was a doctor, and a man had come into his office earlier in the week on a Monday. And the doctor, you know, looked him over and did some tests. And then the doctor told him, said, "Here's what I'm thinking, and here's what you need to do." Well, Friday night, the doctor, he'd worked hard all week. He decided he needed some relief and recreation. So he went out to one of these nightclubs where you got lights and music and people hopping and dancing and jumping and bumping and all that stuff. And he's looking around, and he sees his patient on the dance floor. And this patient on the dance floor, man, he is cutting a rug. I mean, his feet won't stop moving. The doctor's all concerned. And he goes out there, he says, "Bill, what in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, I took your advice." He said, "What do you mean you took my advice?" And he said, "Well, your advice in the office, be cheerful and get a hot mama." And the doctor looked at him and said, "Bill," I said, "be careful, you've got a heart murmur." Well, you got to be careful with life. Jesus told a parable about a man who evidently had some wealth. And the Bible says that this man was going on a journey, so he called some of his servants and he entrusted his property to them. It says to one of them, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now, this parable, we're going to dissect it and talk a little bit about it as we go along, but it talks about talents as money. Now, this is where we get the word talent, but when you and I think of talent, if somebody comes up to you and puts a gun in your ribs and says, "Give me all your talents," well, you wouldn't have a clue what they were talking about. But in the days of Jesus, the word talent meant money. Today, it means your abilities. It means your skills, what you're good at. It means your life experiences, your expectations, the things that make your heart, you know, race because you enjoy it so much. And so there is a parallel here between this master and his servants and God and you and me. The master in the story represents God. The servants represent you and me. There are 7 things here, and they're going to go real quickly. Don't worry. We'll get you out on time. But 7 things that teach us what it is to invest your life. Invest your life in something that will outlast it. So what does Jesus say? Well, the first thing, he reminds us that everything we have comes from God. Now, this is an offense to you and me because we think we worked hard for it. Well, I broke my back to get that. I'm the one who went to work and all this. But the reality is you didn't come in this world with anything, and you're not going to go out with anything. You didn't bring anything with you when you came into the world. You're not going to take anything with you when you go out of the world. Why? Because everything we have comes from God. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's God's. Now, here's the reality. God entrusts some of it to you. He entrusts some of what's his to you so that you can fulfill your life plan. But number one, I just want you to get in mind, God owns everything. Notice it says, it's like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted his property. So everything belongs to God. First lesson. Number two, God has given me some talents. So everything belongs to God, but God has given me some. The Bible passage says, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now, a talent in Jesus' day was about $1,000. All right, it's about $1,000. So he gives one guy $5,000, he gives another guy $2,000, and he gives another guy $1,000. And he says to them, I want you to go invest this money. You know, I want you to use this money. Now, in the same way, God the Father, master of the universe, God has given you some talents. He's given you some abilities and some resources and skills and opportunities. He's given you the gifts that are yours, the spiritual gifts. And God gave these things to you. You know, your job is a gift from God. Your children are gifts from God. Anything that you have can be considered a talent. And everybody gets different talents, but everybody gets something. Everybody has at least one talent, just like the man here. So God has given you gifts and skills and abilities and talents and experiences. He's given you personality trait. He gave you a temperament, all to make you you. God wanted one person to be you. He didn't make anybody else like you. Nobody else like you. He made you you. Why? Because he made you for a purpose. He put you on this planet for a purpose. And the way God made you, you need everything that is you to do what he put you here to do. Nobody can be you better than you. And nobody can do what God put you on the planet to do but you, because you're the only one that has all of the talent and the ability and skill to be what God puts you here to be. So everything we have comes from God, and God has given us some to be stewards of, to manage. The third thing, God expects me to use my talents. It says in the passage, after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. All right? He made an investment in these people. He gave them some talents, and now he wants a return. Same thing's going to happen with you. God has invested in you. God has given you these gifts and abilities, and he expects a return. Now, let me tell you something. One of these days, we are all going to stand before Almighty God, and he's going to take an accounting. He's going to do an audit. And he's going to ask you one question. And here's the question. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a final exam. You're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask you this question. What did you do with what I gave you? That's what this man wants to know in this story. A parable is just a story that teaches a truth about God. Well, the man in the story gave them talents, 5, 2, and 1. And now he has come back and said, I want an accounting of the talents. God has given you talents. And at the end of time, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with it? So I want you to be ready for that. I want you to be ready that God's going to do an audit of your life. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you spend it all on yourself? Were you selfish? Or did you spend it on something that, invested in something that would outlast you? Did you waste it? Did you spend it? Or did you invest it? Now, the fourth thing. It's wrong to bury my talents. It's wrong to bury my talent. The Bible says the first man took his talent and he doubled it. He had 5, he made 5 more. The second guy took his 2 talents, $2,000. He made 2,000 more. He had 4,000. He doubled his money. The point of the story is the third guy, because the Bible says the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. He just buries it. He didn't do anything with it. He just sat on it. He just put it away. Well, what does his master say about this? Look what the verse says. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You wicked, lazy. His master's ticked. He's mad. He's upset. You just sat on it. You hid it. And then he goes on and he says, at least you could have put it in the bank. What he's saying is you didn't even try. You didn't do anything. You were inactive. Now, let me tell you why this is important. This is important because just like this man who gave these men this money came and expected a return, God is going to come to you. He's given you your talents. He's given you your abilities, whether you're good at math or whether you're good at carpentry or whether you're good at construction or whether you're good at nursing or whether you're good at plumbing, whatever it is, God has given it to you, and he's going to come and he's going to ask you what this guy was asked by the master. What did you do with it? You sat on it. And let me tell you something. God doesn't want us to be passive with what he has given us. He doesn't want us to be inactive with what he has given us. Why? Here's why. Because you cannot please God by playing it safe. Why? Because playing it safe means you don't live by faith. See, when I play it safe, that means that I use my talents, my abilities, and I just do what I can do. I don't take a risk. I bury it. And that's what this man did. He didn't take any risk at all. There was no faith in what he did. Now, these other two men, I don't know what the economy was like in the day of Jesus, but if it was anything like our economy, you're taking a risk when you put $5,000 in the stock market. You're taking a real risk. Well, this guy took a risk, and he managed it well, and he doubled his money. The guy with two, he did the same thing. This guy took no risk. Folks, it takes no faith to take no risk. And if you're not risking something for God, you're not living by faith. And what does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible tells us very clearly, whatever is not of faith is sin. God would rather have you totally serve him and blow it. He would rather you invested the talent and lose it all rather than bury it. He'd rather you try to make an impact. He would rather you try to do something significant. He would rather you try to do something that's going to outlast you and fail than sit on it. I see dull Christians all the time. You ever seen a dull Christian? You know what a dull Christian is? A dull Christian is a Christian who has no excitement of living by faith in their life. And they've lost all of the sparkle. They've lost all of the fizz. You remember when I was a kid, we had these things called fizzies. Anybody remember fizzies? Come on, if you remember fizzies, raise your hand. Okay, some of you do. You're just not owning up to it. Fizzy was a little tablet that you dropped in some water, and it started fizzing, and it started bubbling up, and all. It was exciting. You know, it's like putting your thumb over the top of a Coke bottle and shaking it up. It's fizzy, and it's exciting when it came out. Well, some Christians have just gone flat. And there's no excitement and there's no enthusiasm. There's no joy. Why? Because they're sitting on the sidelines. They're not in the game. Because they're not living with any faith. They're not doing anything that stretches them. Listen, if there is nothing in your life that you're depending on God for, there's no faith. There has to be something in your life. Hear me. There has to be something in your life that if God does not come through for you, you're a sunk duck. Let me tell you something. If God does not come through with us in that building, we're sunk. We're living by faith. What is there in your life that you're stretching and living and taking a risk? God expects you to use what he gave you. And this is not some casual thing. If you're not using it, you're wasting your life. And I don't want you to have to make excuses when you stand before Jesus and he says, what'd you do with what I gave you? Well, Well, why don't we use it? Number five, fear can cause me to hide my talent. You see, this guy played it safe, didn't he? He played it safe. He knew he could give the boss back everything the boss gave him. He played it safe. Why? Because he was afraid. He was afraid. He tells us, I was afraid, and I went out and hid the talent. There's three kind of fears that will keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Fear number one is self-doubt. Well, I don't think I could do it. I'm not qualified to do it. I just fail. You remember when you were in grade school, junior high school, college? It happened to me all the time I was in school. That every once in a while, the teacher would ask a question, and you knew the answer to the question, but you wouldn't raise your hand because of self-doubt. Well, what if I'm wrong? But I know it's right. Well, what if I'm wrong? I'm going to look like a dork if I get it wrong. So you want to raise your hand, but you don't raise your hand. Why? Because of self-doubt. You know, if I say the wrong answer, I'm going to be embarrassed. Well, listen, God says that's okay for kids, but that's not okay for adults. He says, I was afraid, and I went out and hid the talent. I doubted myself. God says, no, you don't doubt yourself. You have faith in me. The second thing, fear of self-pity. Fear of self-pity. Sometimes we look at our failure, and I've failed so many times. I have failed so many times in the past. And sometimes the devil wants to use my past failure to try to keep me from walking in faith. You know, sometimes, you know, we mess up and we think, well, I'm never going to try that again. You know, I'm never going to do that again. No. No. Failure in life does not make life a failure. Let me tell you two men who failed in the Bible. They did exactly the same thing, but their outcomes were totally different. One of them was named Judas, and one of them was named Peter. And they both did the same thing. They denied Jesus. They both betrayed Jesus. And what does Judas do? Judas, self-pity. He doesn't know what to do. He lets it get to him. He goes on a guilt trip. He gets depressed. He gives up and he commits suicide because he blew it. Peter did the same thing. Peter denied Jesus three times. But what does Peter do? Well, the Bible says he wept bitterly. He sobbed. He knew he had let Jesus down. And he confessed it. And then he picked himself up. This same man who denies Jesus three times, 50 days later, preached the sermon at Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus. I'd say that's a rousing success, wouldn't you? But he was a failure. He lied to the little girl, said, I don't know Jesus. And he cussed just to make himself sound better. Total failure. But what does God want us to see? He wants us to see it doesn't matter where we've been. We can't change that. What matters is what direction my feet are headed right now, today. Am I willing to do what he wants me to do? That's what counts. The third fear is self-consciousness, and that's just what will other people think. You know, what will other people think if I follow God? The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. In fact, this man, he was so afraid he didn't do anything. Look at what he says. Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not sacrificed. You know what he basically said to his boss? He said, boss, I knew you were a hard man. It's your fault I didn't invest this. It's your fault I didn't take a risk. It's your fault that I didn't have the courage to do it because you're a mean man. And I was afraid. Oh, come on. He's passing the buck. He doesn't even have the courage to own up to what he messed up. So we need to understand everything we have comes from God. God has given us some of what he has. He expects us to use it. It's wrong to bury it, and fear may cause me to hide it. Number six, if I don't use my talent, I may lose my talent. You don't use it, you lose it. The Bible says, the master said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Now I read that, and you read that, and we think, well, that's not very fair. Sure, it's fair. Whose talent was it in the beginning? It was the master's. He could do what he wanted with it. But folks, this is a principle. This is a universal law. Do you know that if you don't use your muscles, that your muscles will weaken and ultimately have no strength whatsoever? You tie your arm to your side for 2 years and don't use it. You won't be able to use it because you've lost it. Your mind. Why do people do these Sudokus and these, the crossword puzzles and all these mind games? Because if you don't use your mind, you'll lose your mind. That's why you need to keep it sharp. Well, God says if you don't use your talent, if you don't practice using your talent, you lose it. So I want to give my talent to God. I want to watch him multiply it. I want, you know, that little boy that gave the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus to feed the multitude, what did Jesus do? He multiplied it. God will take whatever your talent is and multiply it, which takes me to number 7. When I use my talent, I'm rewarded. I'm rewarded. It says, the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, there are 3 rewards there. Reward number 1, affirmation. Affirmation. He says, good job. I can't think of anything that would be more thrilling than to stand in front of Jesus and hear him say, good job, Michael. Good job. You did good. You tried. But there's not only affirmation, there's promotion. He says, you've been faithful with little things, I'll trust you with more things. Do you know that you can't get the bigger blessings of God until you've enjoyed the smaller blessings? Until you're faithful in the little things, you don't get the bigger things. But when you're faithful in the little things, God says, I will promote you. I'll give you bigger blessings. So you have affirmation, promotion, and then celebration. Come and share your master's happiness. I think the happiest people I know are people who are using what they have for God. So let me ask you something. When God does an audit on your life, and it's coming, it's just a matter of when, it's coming, is he going to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, you wicked, lazy servant? It's going to be one or the other. Depends on whether you have wasted your life, spent your life, or invested your life. And if you've been wasting or spending your life, let me tell you how to invest it. Here's what you do. Look at your time, look at your talents, look at your treasure, and ask yourself, how much of this am I giving to God? How much of my time do I give to God? You know, what are there, 164 hours in a week, something like that? If you're 1 hour here, I mean, 10% of your time would be 16 hours. We come and spend, you know, an hour, hour and 15 minutes in church on Sunday. Well, I've done my job. Really? You think that's investing your time with God? What about your talents? And by talent, I mean whatever you're good at. What is it that you're good at? How are you using that to help other people know God? And your treasure, you know what your treasure is. How much of your treasure are you using to invest in something bigger than you? So you need to look at what you've got and evaluate it and say, how am I spending my time and my talent, my treasure? Now, the second thing you need to do is you need to be a part of a church, because it's easier to do in cooperation with other people than it is to do on your own. So you need a church where you can serve. You need a church where you can grow in your faith, where you can mature, where you can develop, where you can get a ministry. And you begin to invest your life. You see, who I am determines what I do. Let me say that again. Who I am determines what I do. I don't do what Jacob does, because that's not who I am. God did not give me the musical abilities that he gave Jacob. You know, this that second lady over there was my wife. He didn't give me the musical abilities. He's given my wife. What I do determines, or who I am determines what I do. So who am I? Well, he gave me some different talents and abilities. But I do what I do based upon who I am. Who are you? You got to evaluate it. You got to say, this is it. You know, I can't think of anything better than standing before Jesus one of these days and him saying, well done. I think Jesus is probably going to look at me and say, well, Michael, you did pretty good. You weren't perfect. And you sure made a lot of bloopers out there, and you got a lot of faults and a lot of sin, and you messed up a lot. But you did make the effort. You did make the effort. And then he's going to say, so well done. You know, well done. I think if you put on my tombstone, at least he tried. You know, I'd be happy. I didn't succeed in everything, but at least I tried. And I think that's what God is looking for. You make the effort. So what are you doing with what God has given you? Because friend, that is your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and keeping us, and thank you for bringing us to this place right now. And I just pray that every one of us would take time and evaluate who we are and what you put us on this planet to do and ask ourselves, are we getting it done? Let us make a fresh commitment to walk with you and not be afraid and not bury what you've given us, but to risk and walk by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. And I want you.